Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, ARC Camp 11 post-event commentary with Alan Pope.
Hello world, and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. This is the last of our highlights of last summer's unconference ARC Camp 11, held at Farnham Maltings in the south of England.
The Full Circle Podcast is the companion to Full Circle Magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
This show is a post-conference debrief with Alan Pope, one of the event organisers and friend of the show. Well, we hope he's a friend, since he sometimes guest presents with us. So it's now midweek, and I've finally managed to have a catch-up with Mr. Alan Pope. Good evening.
Hello, how you doing, Robin?
Very good, very good. Cool. Have you caught up your weekend's exertions?
Yeah, I've had a couple of early nights, and I think that's fixed everything. I think I'm all right now.
Good. You were looking a little bit rabbit in the headlights down at the pub on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple of late nights, and, you know, I'm getting on a bit, and I can't do three successive late nights in a row with lots of drinking and then getting up relatively early. And
so I guess the 64,000 kilobyte question is, how do you think ARC Camp 11 went? So the 64 kilobyte question is, how do you think ARC Camp 11 went?
Well, yes, I guess it depends how you measure it. If you measure how well it went by number of people, then we had about twice as many people this year than last year. So we had about 320 or so people this year, which is pretty good. I guess because we're further south, it's easier for people to get to, and we promoted it a lot more, and, you know, we're getting an established name or something, or all of those reasons. I'm sure people don't come to see me and Tony and Laura and Mark. They come to see all the fantastic speakers. And so I think because we announced lots of stuff was happening, more people came. And it was in a really good venue. I quite like the venue. It seemed to go quite well. And we've had positive feedback. We've had some negative feedback, but not a lot. So that sounds good. So yeah, I think it was pretty much a success. Yeah.
Yeah, I do as well. It's the first ARC camp that I've been to, having missed the previous two.
Well, they were a bit out of the way, weren't they? First one was in Wolverhampton, the second one was in Liverpool, so...
Yes.
Yes.
And I could hardly not turn up to this one, given that it was practically on my doorstep.
Yes, I would have sent someone round to get you if you didn't turn up.
Yeah, it was a very good venue. Worked out much better than I was expecting anyway.
Yeah, we had a bit of trouble getting the place. Not trouble, but, you know, when we first approached them, I think they're a bit perplexed as to what an unconference was, and how can you not know how many people are coming and what is going to happen? You know, what are these people coming here for? You know, these are questions we couldn't actually answer very directly, which kind of threw them a bit. And how many rooms will you need? We think three, but, you know, maybe more, maybe less. But yeah, it all kind of worked out. And they even put Wi-Fi in the week before ARC Camp ran, because they didn't actually have any public Wi-Fi in there. They had a little access point in the reception, but nothing really majorly public. And they put that in there, and 325 people managed to, or however many people had wireless devices, managed to use it and didn't fail at all.
Yes, we didn't kill it.
If you measure your conferences by that, then that worked, yes.
We did have quite a few decent speakers turned up. I mean, everybody on the scheduled track in the Great Hall turned up and did a sterling job. And I thought quite a few of our unscheduled speakers all pitched in, and we had some quite entertaining sessions out of it. Who stood out for you? Anybody in particular?
One of the ones that actually ended up with me giving someone some money at the end of the talk, which is a good measure of whether it was a good talk, I think, was the Nanode, Ken Boak, who, along with the London Hackerspace, has created this Arduino-like device called a Nanode. And it's basically a small computer with a USB port on one end and an Ethernet port on the other. He had some kits there, and he was showing people how to do soldering and selling the kits, and the kits were like £20 or something like that. So I bought one, And I know a few people bought them. I think I got the last one. Although I think a few people got the last one. So I think that was some kind of marketing trick out there. But yeah, it was a good talk to hear about how, you know, how they develop this thing and what you can do with it and what other people do with it. And yeah, it's good fun.
So what are you planning to do with yours?
I have no idea. My daughter's expressed a bit of an interest. She's seven, and she asked me what was in the bag, and I pointed out all the little components, and she was helping me sort them out, and she can read the resistor color codes really well. So I think that's a job for her, as my eyesight seems to be going.
Okay.
But yeah, might get her with a solder line in her hand and see if she fancies doing a bit of electronics.
Other things that were interesting then?
Also, we had some exhibition space. There was a couple of exhibitors that really took my eye. One was the guys who've made a rep wrap, these self-replicating printer things that can print 3D items.
Was in fact the folks from a company called Empirical Limited who brought the 3D printer down.
Ah, Empirical. So there was the 3D printer from Empirical, which was cool. There was a stand for the FSFE, Free Software Foundation Europe. They were only able to come on the Sunday, but it was really handy because I had a friend who's looking for a job in the open source community. She's applied for a job for a company, and she doesn't really know much about open source. And she said to me, oh, can you tell me all about it? And I just turned and looked at this guy from the FSFE, and I said, ask him. He knows all about it. And I think she spent about 20 minutes bending his ear about, you know, how open source works and stuff. And, yeah, she came away brilliant. It answered all her questions. So it's not just about sitting in a room and being talked at. It's about having conversations with people and that kind of stuff. And it's those little things that we don't often hear about at Old Camp, the conversations people have in corridors.
Yes. And there was quite a lot of that going on down in the reception area with the little coffee bar and things.
Yeah, those chairs are very comfy. When you sit down, you don't want to get up, do you?
No, I think I didn't at one point.
I had a chat with Alistair Kurgan, who works for Red Hat, works on LVM. He's also been looking after most of UK lugs for a very long time. He's been looking at the old Doomsday discs, you know, the old laser discs from 1980, whenever, and been decoding the data on them. And he was going into some detail about the structure of the data on these old school laser discs, and that was like super interesting. And he was going to give a schedule, he was going to give a talk, but unfortunately the schedule was just full up, so I got the benefit of him chatting about this. So maybe we'll get him back next year to talk about it. That would be really cool.
Yeah, because it's a data disc, but not as we know it, Jim.
Yes, it's an analog
data disc with everything kind of jammed in and compressed and interleaved. And you look at the technical spec, because that project has actually been revived as a new website, and they've had to decode and translate all of the old data. And you look at the technology now and you go, how did you ever make that work in the first place?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? And one of the biggest problems that they had that they didn't really consider back then, but is an issue now, is that there's a massive copyright problem with the content that's on the disc. Because there's so much on there that may have been had the copyright signed over to the BBC, but it might have been signed over by little Gillian, who's 6 years old, who drew a picture, and that's been scanned in and put on the disc. And you know, legally, a six-year-old can't sign over copyright to you know, stuff. Yeah, whether they'll actually be able to publish the whole thing, I don't know. But it was very interesting to hear about it.
And coming back to the scheduled track, very entertaining opening session from Simon Phipps, who is with his hats. I was telling people about Tommy Cooper, the sketches that he used to do where he would flip hats every couple of lines, as he was doing various jokes, and Simon was doing the same sort of thing. What I thought of was quite an entertaining opening speech turned out to be a little bit controversial. Not everybody quite saw eye to eye with Simon on some of the things he was saying about what freedom means.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, because if you come to Org Camp, it's not the kind of conference where you expect absolutely everyone to have the same opinion. A bit of debate, a bit of disagreement, some arguments here and there, that's great. That's a nice fluid community getting together and having a chat. If we all, I think it would be a bit tedious if everyone turned up and sat there and just gave them a big round of applause and said, yes, we all fully agree with everything you say. You are right. I think it'd be a bit boring. So, yeah it's nice to mix it up a little bit sometimes. Hmm.
And yet, the much-anticipated round of arguments that we expected out of the panel discussion didn't quite happen.
The problem with that was, I think, they just ran out of time to prep for that. So, unfortunately, it just suffered from being kind of thrown together a little bit too quickly. I think if they'd had a bit of a chance to prep it, maybe that would have gone a bit better. But I think that's something we'll definitely learn for next time.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad session. It just wasn't quite the sparky thing that we thought we were going to get with the assembled panel up there.
Yeah, there were a few sparks, and there was a bit of disagreement around, you know, the area of cloud computing and who owns your data and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe next time we'll do a bit more planning in that area. It's funny because we've planned so many other parts of the conference, and things like, you know, all the crew were fantastic and they did all of their work, and, you know, we had these screens up showing you what talks were going on in what room, and the wireless was working great and everything else was working, so there's something had to give. It couldn't all have worked on day one. So yeah,
the logistical side of it was very impressive. I don't think we had any breakdowns during the 2 days, did we?
Oh, you might not have seen them, but they were there. Okay. We had little things like not being able to get video off of an SD card. So I think possibly Simon's talk might not be available to watch later on video because some mess up with the video cameras.
Oh,
there was a good one with the talk scheduling system, Campfire Manager, that's written by John Spriggs. There were some bugs in that we were ironing out through the weekend, and Mark kept scrolling away to SSH into the box and fix it.
Yes, so, I did notice there was a couple of those went on. And everybody had the information, and we all knew which rooms we were going in, even when they got changed, like the Dick Turpin Roadshow that shifted room at almost the last minute.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. But, you know, it keeps everyone on their toes. But and
we all found where we needed to be.
The rooms weren't exactly far apart from each other, were they?
That's true.
Two of them were right next to each other, and the other room was just down a set of stairs and round a corner. You know, if we did it again, I've had a number of people who've said to me, if you do it again, do it there again.
Yeah, I guess the question is, what next for OgCamp 12?
Yeah, well, the general consensus is we don't even think about it for a good few weeks.
Yeah.
Or months after the last one. And luckily, that even if we did choose to go back to that venue, August is a really quiet time for them. As long as we can get the sponsors and people, you know, want to come, then we'll do it again.
Good. Well, I think I've passed on my congratulations and thanks to as many of the organisers as possible. But yeah, I've been looking at the various comments that have been collected on Lanyard of various write-ups that people have done, and I think they've nearly all been glowing and fulsome in their praise.
Yeah, so good,
I think we'll consider that a job well done, and look forward to the next one. Thank you for that. We look forward to the next event.
Yes, I've got to go and publish the latest episode of UUPC. Go to podcast.ubuntu-uk.org for details.
Very good. Thank you very much. Shall I let you get off?
Lovely to speak to you.
And you.
I shall speak to you again soon.
Yes. We'll have to have you on for a guest appearance, because we keep thinking about how to liven up the show. Marvellous. All right. We'll line something up.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
See you later. Bye.
See y'all.
That was a post-event chat with Alan Pope following OgCamp 11. Alan has since joined Canonical as Engineering Manager in Product Strategy, which means he's engineering Ubuntu for hardware on a variety of devices and platforms. Strategy includes the Shuttleworth plan for Ubuntu on everything. You can find Alan at popey.com/blog with the tagline, "Don't you know who I am?" and in his regular appearances as co-host of the Ubuntu UK podcast. That's at podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. His wiki page is at wiki.ubuntu.com/Alan Pope. OgCamp is a joint venture organised by those lovely podcasters, the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. That about wraps up our highlights of OgCamp 11 on the Full Circle podcast. we'll be on to subjects new in following shows. For now, I'm Robin Catling. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.